Futian Hotel, a few blocks from the Shenzhen Convention and Exhibition Center, which meant that keeping tabs on Fan was a breeze for Leo and Chen in the off hours. Each night, when the trade show ended, they all just went back up to the suite and ordered room service. Fan sat on his bed and ate, while his two bodyguards dined on their rollaway beds between Fan and the door, their pistols on or next to their bodies at all times. But during the exhibition itself, it was all work for the bodyguards. The event lasted 3 days, and for 8 to 10 hours each of these days, Fan walked the huge exhibition center floor, posing as an engineer for a Chinese computer firm. Leo and Chen acted as Fan's colleagues, but they said nothing while Fan did all the talking, taking business cards and promotional material and asking techie questions of techie types from all over the world. The two quiet men with him were well trained to keep him safe and to keep him in line, competing roles that could both be best managed only by close physical proximity and constant vigilance. The 3 days on the conference floor passed without incident, but the last evening in Shenzhen was critical because Leo and Chen knew that anyone who attempted to go AWOL while traveling would likely do it either the moment they arrived at their destination or on the last night. The last night was prime time for a man to do a runner, true, but meek little Fan had given them no trouble, nor could either of them envision a scenario that had him acting counter to his orders. He was a tiny, frail, bespectacled, fragile little geek, and when it came down to following commands, he was nothing if not a good soldier. Leo and Chen celebrated the end of the stress of walking the floors of a busy conference full of potential threats for 3 days, having to guard a man in the presence of literally thousands of foreign actors by picking up a bottle of Jack Daniels in a market across the street from the hotel. Neither of them recognized it at the time, but the Jack Daniels was the kid's idea in the first place. He said he needed to get some cold medicine, so the three men entered the market. Fan and Chen walked over to the health aisles, and the younger man picked out what he needed, while Chen looked on, and Leo stood at the front counter. Fan stopped at a liquor display, looked it up and down, and commented on how inexpensive the booze was here as compared to the prices he'd seen on the room service card by his bed. With a shrug, he suggested to Chen that if they wanted to order a drink tonight with their meal, they'd save the Ministry of Defense a lot of yuan by just picking up a bottle here. Leo and Chen were not allowed to drink on the job. Fan knew this, and he also knew they would see this as a perfect opportunity to subvert their orders and enjoy themselves, without anyone in their command being the wiser. A minute later, the men walked out the door of the market with a bottle of whiskey and a bottle of Coke. Their plan had morphed from a quick room service meal and then bed before the early flight the next day back to the lockdown compound in Shanghai to a long evening of drinking and watching television. Now it was 2:30 in the morning, and the bottle of Jack was empty, as was the box of cold medicine. Leo and Chen were incapacitated, true, but Fan was positively frozen himself, worried they'd wake tomorrow and he'd still be right here, staring back at them like a stone statue of a terrified and guilt-ridden little man. Fan took another long look at the two men in the dark. He had nothing against Leo and Chen. They were not nice to him in any respect, but they were government security men. Fan had been around the type since university, and he'd yet to meet one who'd treated a protectee of his low rank with any sort of deference or even kindness. But he knew that they had their job to do, and he had his. And if Fan got away, he knew they'd probably be placed in front of a firing squad for their failure. But Fan rationalized this away. This wasn't his fault. He didn't want to run. He had to run. Finally, he forced himself to stand, to collect his things, and to heave his backpack over his shoulder. With this newfound momentum, he moved as softly as he could across the room and opened the hallway door. He shut it behind him with even more care, then tiptoed away from the hotel room and up the carpeted hall, heading for the stairs. On the way there, he did one last thing. With his heart pounding so hard, he felt certain he could hear it echo off the walls around him. He reached out, put his hand on the fire alarm, and pulled it down. Alarm bells screamed in the still hall, and Fan ran for his life. It was on. There was no turning back.